Okay, Sister Bernice, who asked the Lord's blessing. Sister Bernice, yes.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For thy sake, the wonderful plan of salvation for all mankind. Be with thee, Lord, and with thy hands, Lord, and to let be with all that servant and may bring out the truth that as recorded in the scriptures, and bless each one that is here and those of our number that are not here, strengthen them and strengthen those that are going through trials and sickness. Father, we thank you again for thy goodness and thy grace to each of us. And we ask all these things, Father, in the name of your Son, and our dear Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, Sister Harry, besides putting up names for the monthly speaker, was there anything else?
And the convention.
And the
also,
convention.
The next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, we'll vote on the date and for the convention and format and the speakers.
Okay. All right, we'll take a vote on the monthly speakers. And how many monthly speakers did we decide?
You said four. Let's see. We're having one in November, and then January, February, and March.
All right.
We already voted on Bill Pacious, so.
Oh, you're not having them in December?
All right, so that means
November? Yeah, December. Oh, did I skip December?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so it'll be five speakers.
Five speakers? I thought it was supposed to have four.
Well, they said they wanted more for the winter months.
Okay.
So they wanted more speakers.
January, February, March. Just
yeah.
More.
Yeah. November, December.
Well, we have Bill Pacious
yeah,
already,
yeah.
So we're voting for four.
Four, yeah. So we'll just nominate today.
All right, Brendan, the meeting for Bill Pacious is the 3rd of November. All right, the meeting is now open for, what's the word?
Monthly speakers.
For monthly speakers. Everybody has...
We're not voting.
Oh, we're not voting yet. Okay.
There's a nomination.
And we could
John Coche, is he elderly?
I don't think he's an elderly. He took his name off because of his health.
I guess he took his name off. Yeah.
I've been very quiet then.
Okay.
Well, we don't know.
No, he's not complaining about his health.
He doesn't go out on the
bus. We don't know what he does.
Well, we'd have
that's what
we'd
I understood.
No, we'd have to ask.
Did everybody hear Betty Center Row? I told you.
Thank you, Harry. My friends, our lesson begins on page 240, paragraph 1. 240, paragraph 1. And question 45 on page 41 of the question. Now, we're still in the section on the tabernacle. In regard to the letters S-P-U-P. Now we're going to, this paragraph is going to deal especially with the two spirit begotten classes. This first paragraph we're going to read. The two spirit begotten classes, the little flock and the great company. All right, it's a long paragraph, so I'm going to divide it into three parts. Charlie, if you start reading.
It says, everyone who has built upon Christ anything else than the gold, silver, and precious stones of truth, and a character consistent therewith, will find himself sorely beset during the time of wrath, fire, for all the warte and stubble of doctrine and practice will be consumed. those who are built properly and who consume, pardon me, who consequently possess the approved character are represented by figure S, while T represents a great company begotten of the spirit, but who have built with wood, hay, and stubble, wheat, but not fully ripened at the time of gathering of the first fruit.
Yes, thank you, Charles. And Martha, the next section.
They lose the prize of the throne and the divine nature, but will finally reach birth as spirit beings of an order lower than the divine nature. Though these are truly consecrated, they are overcome by the worldly spirit to such an extent that they fail to render their lives in sacrifice. Even in the harvest, while the living members of the bride are being separated from others by the truth, the ears of others, including Class T, will be dull of hearing. They will be slow to believe and slow to act in that time of separation. They will no doubt be greatly dismayed when they afterward realize that the bride has been completed and united to the Lord, and that they, because so listless and overcharged, have lost that great prize.
Yes, Martha, the sentences are long, so I'm going to have, let's see now, how much further can we go here? Oh no, all right, finish that sentence.
But the beauty of God's plan, which they will then begin to discern as one of love, both for them and for all the world of mankind, will quite overcome their grief, and they will shout, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
And Sister Anna?
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Notice too the abundant provision of the Lord. The message is sent to them. Though you are not the bride of the Lamb, you may be present at the marriage supper. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. This company will, in due time, through the Lord's chastisement, come fully into harmony with him and his plan, and will wash their robes, that they may ultimately reach a position next to the bride, a wife, on the spiritual plane, L.
Yes, thank you all. All right, Harriet, would you read 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15? And Lori, would you read Hebrews 5, 11, where it's about the dull of hearing? And Francis, would you read Hebrews 2, 15?
Will you give these again?
Yes. And then in the book, or in the paragraph, Mary, would you read Revelation 19, verses 6, 7, and 9? And also in the paragraph, Esther, Revelation 7, 14, and 15. All right, Harriet, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. That's in the first sentence.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
And Lori, Hebrews 5, 11.
Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
You know, this great company class is so wrapped up in traditions that they're dull of hearing. The harvest message comes out, the things are being fulfilled in front of their eyes, they still can't recognize it. All right, and Hebrews 2:15, Francis.
and delivered an equal to fear of death, were all their lifetimes subject to bondage.
They're again a great company. And Mary?
Revelation 19, 6, 7 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of almighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God.
And Esther?
Revelation 7:14-15. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them.
Yes, thank you all. All right, now we have two parts to the question. How are the experiences of those who have built with gold, silver, and precious stones, and with wood, hay, and stubble, respectively, represented on the chart? Okay, are there any thoughts on the question?
Well, I think there's a good explanation of this text on 240, but generally the gold, silver, and precious stones are the things that can't be burned up. And so that would show the church, and those that aren't built on those things, it can be consumed.
Now, what is represented by the in symbol? What does the gold, silver, and precious stones represent in this statement of the Apostle Paul? It
means the truth. It refers to the truth and the teachings of Christ.
And what else does
from Brother Russell suggest? The tabernacle picture, excuse me.
I was just going to say the gold would represent the divine nature.
Well, no, here it represents the precious truth.
The precious truth.
Build. See, they're on this side of the veil. They're building on gold, silver, and so on.
Yeah, I realize that. But still
and Martha, what were you...
And they're developing a character consistent therewith.
Yes. And Charles, you had your hand.
Well, I was going to say gold is... this is this concern in thinking about the spiritual nature. Gold is the spiritual nature, particularly the divine nature. Although... And the silver is pertaining to truth. Even yes. In both cases, they're in the tabernacle too. If you want to look at it that way, there's 100.
Depending on the context of the scriptures, when it's used, see, gold could represent the divine promises. Silver, the word of truth. Like say, for example, those that had golden girdles. It represents they're doing divine service. Girdle represents service, and golden represents divine service. Sister Esther?
I agree with what Sister Martha said also in regard to the precious. It says gold, silver, and precious stones of truth, but it also does bring out the character of an individual. That definitely has to be built on this side of the world.
Yes. He mentions that in the first paragraph. Everyone should build a character consistent therewith. All right. Now, how about the wood, hay, and stubble?
Also compared with the traditions of men and errors, things that aren't durable, aren't from God, they're from earth. The wood, hay, and stubble are produced from earth, and so that shows that they're really earthly philosophies and thinking. They grow out of the earth.
Yes, and then we see that the fire is going to burn up false doctrine, false religion.
But can't you also say the rock is of the earth too? So I think it's more or less those things that are everlasting.
Yes.
Those things that cannot be consumed by fire.
Yes. Alright, now.
And they don't really grow out of the earth. I know they were produced from the earth years back by pressure and that kind of thing, but they don't, we don't think of them as getting their nourishment from the earth like things that grow.
Can't see, no, the symbols that I wanted to discuss were the symbols in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Now, the apostle isn't bringing out. Like we know that, in recent studies or recent talks, we know about the false rock foundation of the nominal church. But here we're discussing. Keep it in its context, because we know that when you go through the Bible according to context, you do have fine definitions that beautifully teach a lesson by a symbol. All right, now what about this class that's dull of hearing? Now the Apostle Paul said to this class in Hebrews in the early church, he says, I have many things to tell you that are hard to utter. They're truths that are difficult truths to accept. But he says, because you're dull of hearing, I can't give them to you. All right, now how about in the harvest period? How is the great company shown as being dull of hearing in this time?
Well, I'm not saying any individuals, but you could say that, but I'm not specifically an individual, but they're can't seem to understand the meat in due season that we have at this time.
Yes. And why can't they understand it?
Well, they don't apply
What's
themselves.
What's blocking them? They don't apply themselves, and they like popularity. Yeah, they like numbers.
Yeah.
See, the little flock is a small class, and some people are impressed with a lot of numbers. And when they don't see those numbers, they say, well, what they're teaching sounds good, but. All right, Esther?
We have to remember they got to be spiritually begotten. They
taught this. Yep, but the great company is spiritually begotten.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing to remember.
But why don't they accept it? They're spirit begotten.
Because also their flesh gets in the way too. They think more of the old creature instead of the new creature, and they get too involved in worldly things.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Well, that's the propensity of the Laodicean period of the church. This particular class. You know, would to God that they were one or the other, either hot or cold. And they're neither one, so God spews them out of their mouth. But it's not in the truth how much you know. It's what you do know that you become liable for. And what you do know, I mean, you don't have to know everything of prophecy and everything. Don't ever get that conception, friends. What you do know, I mean, there are different quotients of understanding amongst brethren. We have to understand this. But what you do understand, that you are liable for. And as you become liable for it, if you deviate from even that little bit, then you are building on upon a foundation, or upon you're building a house upon something that has no foundation. I'm reminded back into Luke, the 6th chapter, where it says, the 48th verse, he is like a man which had a house and digged it deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently, and that house could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without foundation, building a house upon earth, against which the streams, when it came, it washed the house away. So this is what those with a little truth or a lot of truth, they have to be careful that when the stream of adversity comes against them, that even what you have is not washed away in the error and derogatory things of this world. So I don't quite agree that you have to have a lot of truth in order to be of the church class. And what you do have, that you are totally responsible for.
All right, thank you. Martha.
I think at this time, at this late date, all the brethren should have a knowledge of present truth. And it's not, like Paul said, it's not a lot of truth. He said it doesn't matter how much truth you have or something to that effect, a lot of truth. That's not the point. The thing is, they should be realized that the Lord has served us at this time, and he used a messenger like he used for the other periods of time. He used messengers, and you should realize the Lord is present. The times in which we're living, things, prophecy being fulfilled, we should be able to understand that because we're living in the midst of it.
Thank you, Harriet, and then Esther.
Well, we've heard the expression, there's enough in the 5th chapter of Matthew to save any man. And I know none of us take that position. It's what we are responsible not only for what we know, but what we have the capability of knowing. There has to be an application for whatever it is. We have to apply ourselves. If we can't expect to have it given to us by somebody else, we have to put in ourselves into the study and then live that study. Put it into practice in our daily lives, what we do study.
Thank you. Esther?
I was going to say that we have to continually learn to the day we die. If we think that we know everything and we just go back and forth on what we know, we're not really building upon our foundation, which is Christ. We have to keep learning and learning and learning.
All right, thank
and
you.
Apply.
Okay, Charles?
Well, someone mentioned having the Holy Spirit, and even a great company class has the Holy Spirit. But in Romans 8:23, not only they, we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption with the redemption of our body, the deliverance of our body. And it continues on too. What I'm really trying to bring out is you have to have the Holy Spirit, but you have to have the Holy Spirit of first recognizing what the truth is, brought out what the truth is, but the whole truth, that's the great company class doesn't seem to recognize what the truth truly is, and it doesn't live up to it. That's the thing that's also brought out, but they're not really seeing. and waiting for the redemption of our body, we have to go beyond the veil, or just can't accept the fact that we're still alive and therefore maybe with a great company class or anything like that. If we have the truth, we have the truth. No one can take it away. That's how the 8th chapter of Romans ends up.
All right, thank you, Charles. So we see then that, to give a few examples, all the truths that we heard in the, that we learned from the harvest message from the volumes that were written. And then after 1945, we saw the Third World Nations. So one of the brothers gave a talk and applied it correctly. He says, when you see the fig tree and all the trees put forth leaves. So really, even though Brother Russell was bringing out that Israel would become a nation, we see that Israel and all the Third World Nations, all these colonies of the past, after the Second World War, all these trees came into being. All these colonies became nations. And then back in the 60s, Julius Bednarz treated the subject matter that's in our ad, in which the lion represented the British Empire, and the bear represented Russia. Now, Russia was not the bear in that sense of the word until after it became a communist nation. So we see that England or Great Britain lost its power after World War II. It was greatly weakened in World War I, and it lost its power and became a third great nation after World War II. And then we're all familiar with the house of Judah, the house of Israel, and then the house of Moses, and then the house of sons. And so Julius applied the house to nations. And when you go through the lexicon and you look up house, that's the way the scriptures use house. Now Julius didn't even see communism come to an end, as we've seen it come to an end, and yet he brought out a truth that the brethren hadn't seen. So as Esther said, we're always learning. There's details of prophecy in our day that are being fulfilled in such a remarkable manner that we have to be on the alert to recognize these things and to preach these things. All right, now does the Lord love this class that's spirit begotten and of the great company?
Of course.
How do we know this?
Because they're going to have a spiritual, they'll be on the, with serving the church class and spiritual plane.
Yeah, so he has made provision for them. but we
must,
see
they must wash their robes first.
Yeah.
And be acceptable.
Yes, we see that they have their experiences. All right, are there any further thoughts on this paragraph?
Well, I'm just repeating now of what was read in the scriptures, Revelation 19:6, about the bride has made herself ready, and also the marriage supper is for the great company class. So therefore, the truth continues on until it's all fulfilled. As it would be brought out pretty soon.
Yeah, so we would say that really the great company in the nominal system, they feel grieved at a lot of the things they see in the nominal system. At heart, they're not in agreement with it. But they don't recognize and appreciate the day of their visitation, and that God is calling them out of the system by a message, come out of her, my people. They don't even recognize that that time has come. In spite of the fact Paul mentioned the seventh church, Laodicea, and they say we are rich and increased in with goods. And the Lord says, ye are naked and poor. So they look at it from a standpoint of, hey, look at how much money our church has, and look at how much influence or power we have. We're rich, we're powerful. But in God's sight, they're poor and naked. All right, let's go on to the next paragraph. Yes.
I had a young junior tell me yesterday, she belongs to the Church of Christ or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was always very religiously inclined. She's either 16 or 17, a very nice girl. And she says, but she said, she asked me what we were, and I told her. And at first I thought she was content with her religion, she says, but there are some things, she says, I can't quite agree with. And she says, I'd like to talk. Maybe we could get together and talk. So I told her after school sometime. So here's a youngster that is seeing things at such a young age, and I'm just wondering, well, first of all, I want to see why she's wondering.
Yeah, what
she's
is she
wondering about.
As questions, aren't
they? Yeah.
You have to be careful in the school.
Yeah, that's what I told her after school.
All right, Venice, would you read the next paragraph on page 241?
The time of trouble, as it will affect the world, will be after Babylon has begun to fall and disintegrate. It will be an overturn in all human society and government, preparing the world for the reign of righteousness. During the time of trouble, fleshly Israel, Eve, which was cast off until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, will be restored to God's favor, and the gospel church, or spiritual Israel, will be completed and glorified. During the millennial age, Israel will be the chief nation of earth at the head of all on the earthly plane of being, into oneness and harmony with which all the obedience will be gradually drawn.
Yes, thank you, Bennett. All right, let's see now. Who read the last scripture? Revelation 7. All right, Esther. All right, Paul, would you read Romans 11, 25 and 26? Venice, Isaiah 2, 3. And Anna, Acts 15, verses 14 to 17.
Romans 11, 25, 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
And Venice, Isaiah 2, 3.
And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
And Anna, Acts 15, 14 to 17.
Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, and upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things.
Yes, thank you all. All right, now friends, notice that under the Jewish age, you notice the unfinished pyramid E there? All right, that's the Jewish nation there. All right, now, question 46. When will the time of trouble affect the world, and what will be natural Israel's experiences during this period?
If says after Babylon has begun to fall and disintegrate. And we see the next sentence there, it will be an overturning of all human society and governments. We see that happening now.
Yes. Well, actually, we saw it after, we did see it after World War I also.
Yeah, well, especially after, I think, World War II.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, World War I saw the, Babylon was cast off in 1878. If we feel during World War I, Babylon became a widow, and while Babylon was becoming a widow for that 70 years, then we see fleshly Israel becoming a nation and getting stronger and stronger. Right now, let's face it, Israel is the strongest nation in the Middle East because they've had all the Arab nations go against her and still succeed in winning the wars because God has been overruled. Do you have your hand up, Lori?
No.
Oh. All right. Are there any further thoughts on this?
Could I read Acts 15:14 from the Diaglot?
Yes.
It's an interesting wording. Simeon hath related how God first looked to take out of the Gentiles a people for his name.
Very good. That's very good.
It gives a little more thought than to visit, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. All right, we don't have time to go any further. Paul?
Maybe we can get some questions or answers to this. Where it says that Israel was cast off until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the fullness of the Gentiles become in was accomplished at 1914. What in particular happened to Israel that was significant at that point that made it different than in 1878 when the Zionist movement started? What is different? What happened in 1914 to be significant to the development of Israel that didn't exist prior?
All right. Your thought on... Now, see, what confused me about your question, Paul, was a number was completed. The crowns were apportioned
in 1881.
I'm
not talking about that, Tony.
About Israel.
Israel.
In 1914,
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, in comparison.
It says, during the time of fleshly Israel, which was cast off until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Believing that the time of the Gentiles ended in 1914, the fullness, full number of years came, what significantly developed as a result of 1914 that would fulfill this prophecy? As far as Israel is concerned.
All right, Harriet, who had their hand up? Somebody had their hand up.
Well, Tony, do you know the scripture offhand that says that gives that? It says until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
Yeah, we read it.
Romans 11:25. But I don't think that. I think that has a reference to the church being completed.
Does Paul understand that? That's what Paul said.
No, Paul didn't say that.
He's speaking about fleshly Israel.
Fleshly Israel.
No, I don't think so.
No, but he understood it in the sense of talking about the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yeah, he said the Gentile times intimated they ended in 1914.
Yes.
But that's not what this scripture refers to.
It's referring to the fullness of the Gentiles.
It's referring to the completion of the church.
And the fullness of that which is showed up in.
All right. All right, Martha, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, that's what I think. It will be after the church is completed that Israel will become the chief nation of earth.
Yeah. Well, Paul didn't say it's become the chief nation of earth.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
He asked if anything happened in 1914 that would refer to fleshly Israel.
Right.
Well, before 1914, there was in 1904, let us say, there was Herzl and the Zionist.
1897 was Herzl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prince was even before that.
I'm saying 1904.
When was it that Lord Beaconsfield?
1878.
Came?
1878.
Okay.
Harriet.
Okay. I think that's what I was thinking.
They finished that. I didn't mean to interrupt them. I think it's a gradual thing. I mean, in a sense, the full number came in 1881, but only in a sense. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's how it's applied in the third volume. But in the fullest sense, I agree, it's when the church is complete, not when the crowns are apportioned. But from that time on, it was a gradual thing with Israel. So I think in 1917 was the Berlin Congress of Nations, which was a result of 1914, World War I starting with the Berlin Congress of Nations. That's the only thing I can think of that directly happened in 1914. It was a result of the war and the end of the Gentile times that the Berlin Congress of Nations could take place for Israel.
Thank you. All right, Esther?
After that happened with or Disraeli in 1878, remember it was said that about 50,000 Jews went back to the land. When did they go back? Was it in 1878, or was it progressive at that time?
I think it was progressive while Brother Russell was still living in the 1916 folder. He mentions about 50,000 had returned.
Yeah.
See, but we can get more accurate figures because of the books we have now. Yeah. All right, Paul, do you have a further thought on your question? All right, shall we close then, brethren, on page 241, paragraph 2. And that will be question number 47. 241, paragraph 2, question 47.
Revelation study, right?
Oh, yes. The Revelation study is on Friday at Paul and Esther's.
And it's the last verse in the 11th chapter.
7 o'clock.
Did you hear what I said?
It's the last verse.
We're on the last verse in the 11th chapter.
In the study of Revelation.
Now let's get going.
Yeah, because I remember that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Martha.
Okay.
The last verse of
the 11th chapter.
The 11th chapter.
Because we couldn't finish it.
Yes. That's right. We tried, didn't we?
We did try.
We
Does
did?
Anyone have two verses of agreement?
One forty-nine.
Well, this is a short one. Does the friend got all four verses?
Okay.
I picked it because it was short. Okay.
Always near, a guide of
thy name. Thank you for this meeting, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings which we have received from studying thy truth. We ask that you will please be with us and keep us strong, keep our faith strong, and keep us always faithful so that we may continue faithful unto the end. And we ask a blessing on all those who are sick and who cannot be with us. And we ask you to please forgive us, Father, for our many shortcomings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.